This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I've got three kids, mostly grown now, and I think any of you with three kids or two or maybe even just one will tell you that sometimes raising children just feels nuts. So when Larissa McFarker told me about the Badeau family of Philadelphia, well, it kind of blew my mind. Here's Larissa.
When Sue Hoag was 12, she read a book, The Family Nobody Wanted, about a couple in the 1940s who adopted a multiracial posse of 12 children, despite having very little room or money. It seemed wonderful to Sue to be part of such a family, and she begged her parents to adopt. What a thrill it would be, she thought, to take children who had been abandoned to friendless institutions and bring them home and play with them and love them and make them happy. Her parents said no, but Sue kept thinking about that book, and by the time she was 15, she had met her future husband, Hector Badeau, and by the time she was 18, she and Hector had planned their family. They would have two kids and adopt two. By the time they were 4 years out of college and 4 years married, they had had the two kids and adopted the two kids and thought their family was complete. But there were more than two children in the world who needed parents. There were so many children who, because they were too old or too violent or too traumatized or unable to walk or too close to death or the wrong color or had too many brothers and sisters, were unlikely ever to be adopted. And when Hector and Sue thought about what those children's lives would be like without parents, lives that were already unimaginably difficult, they could not bear it.
Oh, boy. Well, we have 22 children, I know for sure. I believe we have 36 grandchildren.
Yes.
And I believe it's 10 great-grandchildren. I haven't checked the computer printout this morning. I think that's correct, right?
Okay, I know what you're thinking. 22 children. It's an enormous number. But Hector came from a family of 16 biological kids. So even as the family grew and grew to 22, it still felt like a normal family to him. In 1985, when Sue was 24, they had five children under five, plus three teenage foster kids living with them. But then one day, Sue was leafing through an adoption newsletter from New Mexico and saw a picture of four young kids, two brothers and two sisters.
So Sue Ann is on the bottom left, Flory's on the bottom right.
And something about those four kids pulled at her.
Yeah, it was just a sense of a connection.
Yeah.
That you feel in your, you know, your gut and in your heart. Our faith is important, so we do pray. But it just, you feel this sense of, like, this is my child, and this is my child not living with me yet. I have to go get this child. This child is supposed to be here. And so we have.
When the kids were growing up, they all lived in a big old stone house in the outskirts of Philadelphia that used to be a convent. In the wintertime, it gets very drafty in there because the furnace broke shortly after they moved, and they didn't have enough money to fix it. Even though they knew that having more and more kids would take away some of their time and attention and resources, and they did not have a lot of money, if it was going to dramatically improve the lives of the kids who were not yet in their family, then it was worth it. Sue and Hector flew out to New Mexico to meet the four new kids.
I remember walking into the foster family home being so nervous.
Yeah.
Even though we had adopted before and everything, these were the oldest kids at that point we had adopted, so they had more of a, actual, legally, they had more of a say in whether they were going to come with us or not, but also they had more ability to verbalize and say whether they wanted us to be their parents or not.
These new kids, the ones in New Mexico, had a pretty rough childhood. They'd been bouncing from foster home to group home for a while. Sometimes they were together and sometimes they were separated. Before they met the Badeaus, the kids had made lists of what they wanted from a permanent family. Sue Ann was the oldest girl. Her number one wish was that she never again be separated from her sister and her brothers. Abel, the oldest, wrote that he wanted someone he could call dad.
He wanted to call someone dad, but more importantly, he wanted someone who would call him
son.
Introduce him as, this is my son.
Yeah.
Did you ask them to call you mom and dad?
No. One thing we never did with any of our kids is tell them what to call us. And we asked them what they wanted to be called, and if they, once they were adopted, what name they would want.
Yeah, Abel, and he wanted to be Rocky, Abel Rocky Badeau.
Because after Rocky, the movie character. Most of them, nearly all of them, did end up calling us Mom and Dad. But
some quicker than others.
Yeah, it's actually better when they don't call you Mom and Dad too quickly. Yeah. You have some other respectful way that you talk to each other.
But do you long for that moment when they spontaneously call you Mom or Dad? Of course she did. Sue was just a normal mom in many ways. There was always the risk that things would go badly, but this risk excited her. Would the new child get along with the others? How soon would this new child feel that this was her home, not just another foster home that she'd get kicked out of in a few months? Sue Ann and Flory had been in so many foster homes that at first they didn't know the difference.
I thought it was just another foster home. I just thought it was further away than New Mexico. I was just like, okay, as long as we're together.
How did you come to feel that this was your family, that this was something different from a group home or a foster home?
I guess it took a while, you know, just being in a routine and, you know, just knowing that you're not going to go anywhere else, you know? I didn't really understand what adoption was until when you go to court and you're allowed to change your name and be who you want to be and start a new life and decide who you really are. And this is what your life is going to be, and this is your family. And you don't actually move anywhere else, and you stay in the same school, and you start to have, like, a real life. That's when it really sinks in. Because your life isn't like that beforehand. Your life is chaos all the time.
Bringing in new children was obviously more work for Sue and Hector. But everything was work. They never wanted an easy life. They were always exhausted, they were always broke, and they almost never had any time alone. But they knew that they were needed. They could give love and food and shelter to children who hadn't had those things, and they were doing God's work. It was a lot of work. Sue even wrote a Badeau family handbook in which she wrote down the family's values, rules, and rituals, including number 6. We will celebrate special times in each person's life, like birthdays and anniversaries, and try our best to make each person feel special and loved. Number 9. Each week, Mom will take one kid on a Friday night date, and Dad will take one kid on a Saturday morning breakfast, so we can have one-on-one time and develop our relationships with each other. But no matter how organized they were, there was always a lot to do.
What time did you get up?
Forever I got up around 4:35.
4:30? Why?
Yeah.
He needed that time.
I needed my time before the kids got up, but to get that many kids, bathe them, get their clothes on and all that kind of stuff, change diapers, make lunches, and usually hit the sack
about 11. Because I didn't do any of that.
Yeah, that wasn't in her contract.
What did you do?
Slept in until 7.
From almost the beginning of their marriage, Sue and Hector had a deal. She would do the paperwork, he would change the diapers. He didn't like having a boss, so she decided she would work outside the home and make the money. He would stay at home with the kids. At first, Sue was working as an adoption caseworker in Philadelphia, and she would be home at night and make the dinners. And then she took a fellowship in Washington, D.C., which meant she was away 5 days a week, living in a hotel room, and Hector was at home, making the lunches, changing the diapers, doing whatever needed to be done. Even when they had 16, 17, 18 kids, he would take them on road trips, on summer vacations.
My dad would make the van like a big, huge bed where we all just had our spots. So because sometimes we traveled through the night and we'd have to sleep, you know.
Sleep and read, and sing songs.
Imagine being in a van full of like, not only like some teenagers, but babies peeing and stuff like that. It was worse.
And he took all the kids that were living at home at the time. Some of them were babies. Some of them were in wheelchairs.
It was fun.
By the time they were grown, they'd been through every state in America except for Hawaii and Alaska, which was a big point of pride for all the kids.
I mean, my dad was good for the most part, but he did forget a couple people at like Six Flags and stuff like that.
They got left at the bathroom when we were walking to the van and would get to the van and do a head count. We'd be like, oh, shoot. They went to the bathroom and then he'd have to go back
and get them.
They'd be like standing there next to security.
Everywhere they went, across the country or at home, people would stare at them and ask about their family.
I used to be embarrassed growing up telling people I was, like, adopted and from a big family because I didn't want people knowing. We got a lot of attention.
Not everybody was, like, you have black people and Chinese people and white kids. You have all these different races, too. And they're like, that's not your brother. That's, and then you get a lot of questions. Sometimes you don't want to share your whole life with every person you meet.
What kind of questions?
They'd be like, well, what do you mean you're adopted? Why are you adopted? Where's your parents? Yeah. Well, what's wrong with you? Why don't your parents love you?
And that's what my brother would say. He'd be like, our mom just threw us in the trash.
Sue wanted her children to know that she was different. When one older girl joined the family, she asked Sue, how do I know I can trust you? Sue said, we have made a commitment to you. That commitment is just as serious to us as our marriage vows. We are making a promise, not only to you, but also to God. And it doesn't matter what you do, you are our children. We are your parents. We are a family. Of course, she didn't know then how much that would be tested. They made a point of adopting children that no one else was going to adopt. They adopted 6 brothers and sisters from Texas, teenagers. No one was going to adopt 6 teenagers other than Sue and Hector. They adopted 3 boys with terrible physical disabilities that meant they needed constant care. A lot of people thought they were saints to do what they'd done, but others thought they were publicity seekers or had some kind of psychological disorder. People thought they were presumptuous to imagine that they could be good parents to so many kids. Hector heard it all, but he developed a pretty thick skin.
This is what we're good at, and this is what we're doing.
They can't imagine, I couldn't do this, so how can you? You know, and so then they start to speculate, well, then what would be someone's motives for doing that? And they either go to an extreme, well, you must be in it for some bad motive.
You're in it for the money. There's a lot of, we could have been a lot richer.
There's a lot of other ways, yeah.
Easier way to make a buck.
Their goal was to break the cycle. Their kids' parents had had children as teenagers, and they weren't able to take care of them, and the children ended up in foster care. Hector and Sue wanted things to be different. They wanted their kids to finish high school and go to college and then have children once they had settled down and could raise them in a stable home. But it didn't happen that way. Did your parents talk to you about birth control?
I think they thought they did, but maybe I wasn't listening. I don't... That was... I actually had a baby at 16, so there was a lot of... that threw a monkey wrench into the family dynamics.
Sue Ann knew she had to tell her parents about her pregnancy, but it was very difficult.
My mom was pretty upset. She didn't say too much.
You know, what did I do wrong? I'm a failure. I'm a bad mom. I never should have adopted these kids if I couldn't make their life better for them.
I think my parents thought that I had been a part of the family long enough that they had made an impact that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, the situation is still vivid in my mind of...
21 years later.
It was shocking, and it was the last thing we wanted or expected. It was kind of crushing.
Hector and Sue told Sue Ann that she could either drop out of school to take care of her baby or put it up for adoption. It wasn't that they didn't love babies around the house. Of course they did. But they wanted their children to take good care of their kids, to be real parents to them.
I guess I had a motto that I wasn't going to raise my kids' kids. And I kind of stuck to it, you know, my thinking has evolved over time, but especially when we first started having to deal with pregnancies, I was like, oh, if you're going to have kids, you're going to have to take responsibility.
I didn't have a job, I didn't have any money, I didn't have an education. I didn't have anything to give her.
Sue Ann named her daughter Milagro. She decided to give her up for adoption, but to family friends so she could continue to see her.
Well, I knew I wanted her to have a good life, and I knew that I couldn't give that to her. So I had to, you know, give her everything, give her me and give her a family.
After what happened with Sue Ann, Sue and Hector were not taking any more chances.
I was on the North Plant when I was like 13. My parents just wanted to play it safe.
Sue Ann's younger sister, Flory, was only 13, but they put her on North Plant and she stayed on it for 5 years. But then when she was 18, she decided to go off it, and she got pregnant and had a baby.
Yeah, I thought about giving her up for adoption as well, because I was, like, young, and it was a lot of decisions. But then I, you know, also thought about Sue Ann's situation with Milagro, and I just couldn't do it.
Sue Ann got pregnant again and quit college. Flory got pregnant again. And then there were more pregnancies, and more after that. and then some really terrible things happened. Sue and Hector had adopted three boys, knowing that they had terminal illnesses and would die young, but it was still a shock when they did die. Two other sons ended up in prison, Fisher, for beating up his girlfriend, and Abel, for sexually molesting one of his younger sisters. When that happened, Hector told me, he thought about leaving. He wasn't really going to leave, but that's how he felt. Sue became profoundly depressed. She wrote to a friend, "I try to pray, but I feel like I am praying into a black hole. Reading the Bible does nothing more for me than reading the newspaper. I still believe, but I feel nothing. No connection to God. No reality of the Holy Spirit in my life. This must be what hell is like." When you think about reading The Family Nobody Wanted when you were a kid, how does the family you created differ from that? How is it like or not like the family you pictured when you were 12?
So for me, our family turned out better than anything that I imagined from those either movies or books. The downs, the valleys, the trenches have been worse than anything I imagined from any of those. You know, one of the worst things I remember from that Family Nobody Wanted book was when they reached a point where they didn't have any money to buy groceries and they didn't know when the next time they would. And that was like the worst thing I remember from that book. And certainly we've been through way worse things than that. The hard times were harder. And yet the overall feeling of who we are as a family and the depth and the security I have that the relationships are really no matter what and they are forever. The joy that we do experience when things do go well or when we're just enjoying each other, when we're just having a good time, is way better than anything I imagined.
I can't imagine any other life than the one we've had together. Sue and I had we were going to change the world when we, I think we did it to a certain extent, but I think the big changes I'm hoping are going to come even a couple generations down the road where we're trying to break the cycle of poverty or break the cycle of early pregnancies. Or I thought we were going to adopt them, everything's going to be wonderful, they're going to go to college, but the commitment, it's going to be a few generations. So I think that was a big adjustment for me.
Sue Ann and Flory are now both happily married. Most of the kids still live within a few blocks of Sue and Hector's house, the one they grew up in. They're in and out of the house all the time, babysitting each other's kids. There are always people at the Badeau's house.
Even like ex-boyfriends, they still come around to like talk to my parents and hang out with the family. And
Sue still travels a great deal. She speaks about adoption and foster care all over the country. Hector now works overnight shift in a homeless shelter. This summer, they discovered they even had enough time to take over a month off and travel to Kenya to help teenage moms and their babies. In a lot of ways, Sue and Hector are like any other parents. They love being parents. They love their kids. They've gotten a lot out of it. They did not choose an easy life, but they loved it. Being parents was what they were great at, and that's what they wanted to do all the time to the exclusion of everything else. Some people look at the bad things that happen in their family and think, this experiment didn't work. They should have adopted fewer kids. Not everyone can do what Sue and Hector did. And maybe not everyone should.
You know, if I see someone that's put their whole life goal is to do something really risky and crazy, like climbing Mount Everest, and you could die while you're doing it, and other people might have to risk their lives to save you if something happens, like, I don't get that. But if that's that person's passion, then who am I to question them, too? Just because I couldn't do it doesn't mean they can't do it.
Sue Badeau, matriarch of the Badeau family. Larissa McFarker wrote about them in her book, Strangers Drowning.